I'm coming to see the truth about my situation in so many ways. The therapy I'm doing is nothing like anything I've ever done in the past. And although I'm grateful for what I did in the 90s, and even the shamanic work that I did a few years ago, nothing has ever gone in and done what IFS is. Last week on Thursday, I had a 5-hour session. At the 3-hour mark, believing that the call was about to end, all I could feel is that I was going to slip off the bed into the corner and just cry in a ball. I was going to collapse. Andrea took me back to before I was born, to an inkling that I had in my childhood. Something way back in the bowels of my mind, that my father beat my mother while she was pregnant. I certainly know he used intimidation, raised his voice, and took her in his hands and squeezed. But seeing the scene play out, I know there was far more damage than that. As if that's not enough damage. I was born at least 2 weeks late, maybe even 3. I refused to come out, which only made the problem worse. Finally, my father decided that they were going to drive up to visit my Aunt Edna. He couldn't put it off anymore. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it must have been for her for 5 hours in a car? He cared so little about her or the child that was inside her. He truly was such a selfish, selfish man. And Thursday, I saw the narcissist in an even brighter light. Imagine beating your wife during pregnancy. Imagine demanding that the attention go to you. And sadly, in my work, someone who worked for me, I saw it in him. And he hated me for it. Just another child of an alcoholic father. Playing it out again. And now he has a boy. At any rate, the content of the session took me to the darkest place I've ever been in therapy. There might be one other time that I reached this low. And I'm still reeling, trying to accept the truth of who my parents really were. Because once we were done with getting my father arrested, which should have happened. But the truth is, for all of you young people out there, back in 1959, the only thing that the police did was walk him around the block. They didn't even consider it a crime. But thankfully, in the rewriting of the timeline, my father was held to account. Charges were pressed, and his life played out very differently with that on his record. So he wasn't even there at the birth. My mother went to a safe house, and eventually I was born. I grew up on my grandmother's farm with the most perfect woman I've ever met, my Aunt Olive. She truly was an angel, sent here to take care of the children. She saw the game for what it was, and perhaps that's why my mother hated her. She refused to live the life of Lorna or Gladys. She refused to get married and become somebody's property. I'm so grateful, Olive. I am so grateful that you broke the rules. Because as I sit here worrying about breaking the rules when it comes to the narrative in society right now, it's been very difficult. I've considered suicide. I've considered running. And I certainly have a judge in my head who says I've already lost and the punishment is death. I'm so angry about what's going on out there, that this continues to be the predominant narrative in our society, that the U.S. Homeland Security continues to say Canadians can't come into the country unvaccinated. Canada has become a militant dictatorship, and most people don't even see it. They've been coddled for so long. They love their conveniences. They have no idea how to live without the system. And the truth is, neither do I. My mother taught me how to work it. And as I take my last month of EI, I say goodbye to it forever. It holds nothing for me. It never did. It never helped me with my mental health issues. It never saw my mental health issues as being a symptom of its own greed. I don't know that I'll ever come to forgive my father for the way he twisted and distorted me, teaching me to hate my mother, teaching me to hate women, teaching me to hate myself. We now sit with a new part. And yes, she's come out of the shadow now. I don't hear a lot from her. But self-loathing sits between grief and betrayed. And as I look at my adult stories and the betrayal that I felt in each and every one of them, I now know the non-verbal agreement that I was making with each of them. Because as an infant, if I didn't fix my parents, I would die. No one came to rescue Andre. Not one of his friends. And certainly not her. The survival of the fittest mentality shouldn't be applied to infants, but it is. In a society focused on greed and what's in it for me. I asked my therapist if I was a narcissist, because if I can see it so clearly in others, it must exist in me. She's the second therapist to tell me it isn't. But I know. These are the very thick, gooey structures that have been attached to me. And for many years while working in a boutique web firm, I actually thought I was doing a good thing, managing all the lions. At the cost of myself, my health, and my sanity. And getting anything was like pulling teeth. The avoidance, the neglect, and near the end, the judgment. I understand we don't know what we're doing. And we hurt people because we're hurt. Now I have this beautiful boy, Liam, in my life, and I hurt him. I hurt him by not attending to him the way he needed to be attended to in the face of my baby girl, Jet. It's possible that he actually brought the illness into the house. Poor little feral boy, untreated. But nobody called it. Nobody said the red flag. So I guess the dog-eat-dog world is still the predominant place on this planet. But I have to believe that as I peel away the conditioning that taught me to hate myself, I will find freedom from it. I'm not sure I can continue to live within it, though. I'll be honest. I'm still not sure I'm going to make it through. My higher self, my supreme protector, they're nodding, they're cheerleading for me. The angels are grateful that I am actually fulfilling my purpose. I am living up to my contract by doing this deep work. And Andrea's right. There's no way out but through. But scarcity, you really are kind of the darkest other player in the game. Because I don't have any faith that anything is coming. Because no one ever came. So how do I suspend my doubt? How do I act as if? Feel the fear and do it anyway. There's no part of me that wants to maneuver or manipulate anything anymore. And yet I find myself crying out, pleading for someone to help me. That little baby in the crib. No one came. And if they came, they came in disdain. I remember an old friend of mine used to say to her son, "What do you mean I need to feed you? Wasn't giving birth to you enough?" It always bothered me. She was a cruel mother who saw herself as sacrificing for her child. That's the crazy part. The stories we tell ourselves. Make it all well, make it all better. I finally came to see the lies, one by one, and the people that I begged to rescue me. That wasn't the deal. For them, the deal was you have no boundaries. The similarities to my father in each and every relationship are so incredible now. And yes, I can feel empathy and I can see that each of their situations led them to that place. It's true. We're all wearing a cage that we project from. And we attract that very thing. And quite honestly, if that's all I'm ever going to attract, then I'm not interested in staying on this planet. But at the same time, I know that if I take my life, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to do it all over again, and it's going to be even harder. And perhaps that's what's happening right now, is that I opted out so many times that now I am tasked with one of the most difficult lives. And sure, I'd like to compare and say, oh no, it's not that bad. I mean, take a look at children who are born into war. And Gabor, you've helped me a lot. So much. Because you were. And you have the courage and the conviction to be honest about your own addiction. To help save others. I pray that I find that courage. It's time for me to share my voice. It's time for me to reach into the box of rage and free my voice. I have been a powerful woman in this life, even if I've gone about it in such devious ways. Those lies were hidden even from myself. Please remember, it's one thing to be held responsible. It's another thing to be held responsible for something you don't even know. But that was one of the games that was played so well. You should know. Even as an infant, I was taught I should know. So each and every time I didn't understand, I dug the hole a little deeper, the deficit that I am. And Andrea's right. The well of grief began with an unwanted child. Why couldn't they have adopted me out? Why couldn't they have been just a little less selfish and recognized they didn't want a child? Someone did. So I really need to hate the two of you for a while in order to save myself. But I'm not sure I can handle any more sessions like Thursday. With scarcity looming, I just don't see anything ahead. And I know fantasy is designing this new life. Maybe it's imagination. I pray it's imagination, not fantasy. But she's done it many times. And I always sabotage it. I've come so close to having a little success in this life. But perhaps the greatest success will be in healing my own mind. And unburdening the parts of